My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we're going to be chatting all things DVC. If you wondered what that's all about, with Adam very soon, who's going to be sharing some Walt Disney World memories with us. Of course, we're here to answer your questions. You're going, you're planning to go, you're currently planning to plan to go. Whatever can help you have the best time at Disney World. Any questions, do send them over on any of the socials. You can DM me at podmagical is where we are. Hello to Lauren. Now, Andy, when is the best time to book a character breakfast at Crystal Palace? Is it when they switch from breakfast to lunch so you can do both? Right, okay. If you go at about 10:30, 10:45, if you book to go for about 10:30, 10:45, that's the very end of breakfast. And I think the first lunch booking is 11 o'clock. So anytime after 11 o'clock, you're going to get lunch and you're going to pay for lunch. But if you go before that, so I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking, 10:30, 10:45, you'll pay the breakfast price, you'll get the breakfast items, eat slow. They'll eventually, after 11, start bringing the lunchtime stuff out as well. So that's a good way to cut costs, have a nice brunch, meet the characters, Crystal Palace. Love it there as well, meeting Winnie the Pooh, who's back, by the way, in Epcot. He's got a new place to visit him in Epcot, which I'll tell you about in the news later on. But right now, let's chat Disney World with Adam.
On this episode of the podcast, it's a fellow podcaster and also DVC member. We'll talk about all that. Adam, why do you love Walt Disney World? What is it? What is it about Disney?
Yes, yeah. Podcasting world is very new to me, but the love for Disney isn't. To be honest, when it comes to the love of Walt Disney World, especially now I'm getting a little bit older and a little bit more wiser, it's not all just about, you know, thrill rides and stuff. Sounds a little bit cliche, but it is just the variety of your holiday. Like the fact that you've got the thrill rides, the roller coasters, the dining, the eating, the lazy river if you want to chill out, if you just want to go around resorts, beautiful resort hopping that you can do there. I just love all of it. I can guarantee for anyone who's considering going to Walt Disney World, they can go for 2 weeks, they can go for 3 weeks, they can go for however long they want. Each day is going to be slightly different to the one before and slightly different to the one after, and that's what keeps us coming back.
So was it thrill rides that made you go in the first place?
Yeah, so my initial dip into Walt Disney World was in 1991. I was six at the time. It was a family trip at that point. Got lucky to head over across the pond. The whole family, especially my mum at the time, instantly fell in love with it. It was the 20th anniversary of Walt Disney World at the time, so there was a lot of shows and parades specific to that was going on. We bit again for the year after around Christmas time, and Christmas in a Disney park is magical. So we did that, and then we just kept going back every other year from there. We initially stayed off site, and then we started dipping our toe in with staying on site and sticking in the Disney bubble, and here we are now, as you mentioned, as DVC owners.
So when you went first time early 90s, what parks were actually open?
So my memory of it's pretty vague. The key elements that I remember of the Disney parks we went to at the time was Magic Kingdom was the one that was our main drive when we went there. That was the place where the majority of the younger attractions were for sort of my age group, and I had a younger sister at four as well, so we spent the majority of the time there. We also had Epcot obviously open. Didn't spend as much time in Epcot as a youngster. Certainly didn't appreciate as much as I certainly do now. And I think it's just evolved over time. It's a great park. It's one of my favorite parks now. But the main thing I really remember from the early 90s, was the Toontown Fair area over in Fantasyland. They used to do a load of meet and greets. It wasn't just a matter of meeting Mickey in a building. You were going into Mickey Mouse's house, and then this next door neighbor was Minnie Mouse's house. You go in, and all the rooms are set up, and then right at the end of the house, you're having your meet and greet. That's something which was just magical as a child, to go in and see that, especially after watching you know, Mickey Mouse cartoons on TV as a kid, and then going to meet the Big Cheese himself in his house in Toontown. That's my big memory. That and the show that was in Toontown, which was associated to the Rescue Rangers. And I was a big Rescue Rangers fan as a kid. And yeah, I remember that show vividly, and the set that they had there with the rocket ship for them and everything. It was just magical over there, and it hooked us, and it still does today.
Yeah. See, I didn't do Disney World in the 90s. I was like, it was 2000 was the first time I went, January 2000. So all this me, and you very rarely see it on YouTube, because obviously back in the day, maybe a few people had the big VHS cameras, but like you don't see that, do you? The Disney World 90s.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I know my parents have got home video after home video squirreled away somewhere, so I'll have to try and convert it one day and try and pop it onto YouTube. Hopefully it'll get a few clicks. There is a channel, I forget the name, where they have converted some home videos, and it is just like a trip down into the vault, going back and seeing all of that. The characters just milling about and not actually being in a location that you have to queue up and wait for hours or whatever. It was just all of a sudden in Epcot, for instance. I remember Chip and Dale walking past in, like, you know, a traditional Chinese outfit, because you were going into the China Pavilion, and they were just on the side waving, taking a quick photo with your film, and on you go. It was, very different experience to what it is now.
So how often as a kid were you going?
We initially went 91, and that was like the initial trip of a lifetime, as it's always marketed. And then it bit us. We went back in 12 months later in 92, and then over the course of the 90s, I think the next return was 96, and then it just started to begin a tradition of every other year, maybe one every three if there was something else going on at the time. But my recollection for the majority of the 90s, and then moving on, getting older, was every other year. Back in the day, obviously, it was a little bit more affordable to go over to Florida, so we used to combine the Disney tickets and the Universal tickets together, because, you know, you could do that back then without having to, you know, remortgage your house. But nowadays it's a little bit trickier, so we tend to stick to the Disney bubble at the minute, especially got a young family, so we're sticking to Disney at the minute, and when they get a little bit older, we'll head to the other parks and see what they're about as well.
Because it was your parents first that bought into DVC, wasn't it? So when did they buy into DVC?
Yeah, DVC came about in 2005, so we were on a trip in 2003. Staying in All Star Movies, I believe it was, and they had the booth next to the reception, and, you know, they don't push, they just sort of like lean over and say, oh, hope you're having a great trip, want us to explain what DVC is to you, because it was still very much a secret back then. More than welcome to have a chat, and kind of tweaked my dad's interest at the time, and certainly tweaked my interest. I was having a little look at the time. 2005 we went to Pop Century, I believe, and again booth is there next to the reception, and we're having a down day, and dad looked at me and I looked at him, and we said, do you know what, let's see what it's all about, let's get on the van and just, you know, if anything, we'll go, we'll have a nice time. There was a promise of a free ice cream, so we headed over to Saratoga. We met a really nice chap called Randy. He looked through all the bits and pieces that we were at the moment. The first thing he said was like, what are you doing? What's the frequency that you're coming over? And he was like, oh yes, no, this could be a good decision. You think, okay, here comes the sales pitch. But honestly, the sales pitch just never materialized. He was like, look, here you go. Here's the plots. Here's what's being built in Saratoga Springs at the time, which it was very much just a construction site. There was one unit. It was actually the Springs unit in Saratoga, for those who have been. There were a couple of units there, a studio, one bed, two bed, and a free bed. They take you to the free bed, of course. That's the initial sort of wow factor. So it was like, you know, this is DVC. And then obviously, as DVC members know, that's not necessarily the case, depending on how many points you have. But in fairness, he showed us the two bed, the one bed, and the studio. So we got the whole range of what we could have. We just loved it. We loved Saratoga in the location, the proximity to what was at the time Disney Village, which obviously was the merchandise capital of Disney at the time. And it was something which Dad saw as an investment, because of how many times we were frequenting over across the pond and coming to Disney. Crunched the numbers at the time and it worked for him. Came home and 2 years later in 2007. We enjoyed another trip in 2006 over there using DVC, and there was a special offer on to get some more interest in Saratoga in 2007. And I thought myself, do you know what? This could be an investment in my future, my family's future. So I signed on the dotted line myself, and we just combined our contracts to stay in, say, one bed and two bed villas in Saratoga and a few other different resorts at the time. And yeah. Fast forward to today, I'm starting to take my young family over in DVC and never look back.
So as we're on the subject of accommodation, where is your favorite place to stay? You must have stayed in quite a, being a DVC owner and going so many years, you must have stayed pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, we've stayed in a few. We haven't ticked them all off the list, and obviously they're still constructing. We mentioned off air that you've got a contract with Riviera. Yeah. Somewhere we'd definitely look to stay down the line for sure. It looks beautiful from what we've seen. Old Key West, Saratoga's next door neighbor in the original DVC resort, was the next resort that we actually tried, and I fell in love with it. There's for DVC members who own there or DVC members who have visited there, there is a certain vibe and community that you have in Old Key West that you really do feel that you're within a community while you're on holiday.
Yeah.
It's so laid back. The storyline, the backstory of Old Key West and the Disney Vacation Resort when it initially opened is just incredible. All these years later, they've refurbed and they've spruced it up to make it look a little bit more deluxe, but it still has that touchback, those Easter eggs to its original source and the original storyline that themed that resort. It's a great place to stay. It's so convenient for now Disney Springs. It's in the center of the property, so you're close to Epcot, you're close to Hollywood Studios. They could do with, you know, maybe a Skyliner in the future.
That would be quite handy, yeah, because I found just getting to Disney Springs just on the buses can take forever. Even like it's actually not very far from anywhere, but it seems to take forever to get there and back.
Yeah, it is. It's the evolution of Disney transport and the introduction of the Skyliner is just hopefully going to change. When they originally created Old Key West and Saratoga, they did make a line in the trees for a potential monorail. That was the whispers at the time when Saratoga was created. There was going to be a potential monorail track going towards TTC. That hasn't materialized, mainly due to finance, I would assume, but now the Skyliner has proven to be beneficial for guests over there. I hope they utilize that because there's still a clear pathway. And if they can get a Skyliner, like a hub, maybe at Disney Springs or in between Saratoga and Old Key West, that'll be really, really useful. Certainly help on the evenings when you're heading back tired after the fireworks.
Definitely. So Old Key West, would you say is your favorite resort?
I would stick to my home and say Saratoga.
Right.
Old Key West is a close second. We had the pleasure recently of heading over to Kodiny Village in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the DVC element of Animal Kingdom Lodge, and that was beautiful. We got lucky. We stayed in a standard room. We didn't stay in a savannah, but we got a partial savannah view, which there's a decent number of the standard rooms which actually do have animals looking outside and not just car parks that you may expect. And it was beautiful. Having a cup of coffee and seeing animals outside your balcony is a winner for anyone. And the resort itself is just themed so well. I love it. I think if there's the thing about DVC and the different resorts, because they are all so very different and the theming of it is so very different, you can go on a trip and go to Animal Kingdom and say, no, this is it. This is the one. Nothing's going to beat it. You'll then head to Saratoga and you'll say, oh no, but I like the relaxed feeling and the resort feel of being in Saratoga. You go to Old Key West and oh no, the community aspect of it is fab. You'll go to the boardwalk and you've got all of the amenities on the boardwalk itself. You've got restaurants, you've got shops right outside your door. You've got a walkway to Epcot. I mean, there's so that I could speak about DVC resorts all day. That's why I contribute to a DVC podcast. It's definitely a winner, and it still is a winner today.
Do you find yourself, because you've got DVC and you've been going quite a while, spending a lot of times in the resorts? Because a lot of people on this podcast, they go and they go, oh, you'll have a couple of chill days, and they don't even materialize. They might have half a day by a pool, but it's always parks, parks, parks. But are you like more a resort guy, or have you got a nice balance now?
I think we're getting there with balance. The introduction of children obviously means you have to steer towards balance with the expectation of naps and children being Disney tired. We took our daughter over in 2022. She was just over 2 years old at that point, so very much still an afternoon napper, especially when she gets really tired. And she did really well, bless her, with the excitement and the sensory overload that what Disney brings. But we did utilize the resort a little bit more because of that, and also just areas without outside of the park. So for instance, we took the pathway from Magic Kingdom to the Poly and walked over to Grand Flow just to have a little look at those resorts whilst our little girl was napping. And yeah, it opens your eyes to how much more is out there than just the theme parks, the rides, the food, the merchandise within those Disney parks. There's so much more to Walt Disney World property than just the theme parks itself.
I'm going to ask you a tricky question now. You've been as a kid, you've been with your parents, you've been as a parent. Favorite memory?
For each timeline, for each element of my association with going to Walt Disney World, there are particular memories, but the one that will always trump will be going to Walt Disney World as a father and seeing the excitement on my daughter's eyes when she went into Magic Kingdom and realized where she was. She watched a couple of vlogs to sort of get her in the mood and get her into the interest, so she's not just going there and saying, well, where are you? Keep saying Walt Disney World, I don't know what that means. So we sparked her interest initially. Yeah, she certainly does now. We've brainwashed her well. But no, just you know, she turned around and it, again, sounds cliche, but it happened, and I'm sure it happens to everyone. She turns around and it was like, look at the castle, walking down Main Street, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house for myself and my wife at the time. It was a very magical moment, and there were so many magical moments on that trip that, yeah, I think just the combination of going as a parent will always trump the memories for sure.
It sounds like something from the advert when you see it on the advert, and it's all like,
yeah,
everybody's all, yeah, smiles and it's all magical. It actually does sound like that. It can happen.
It can. It really can. Yeah. That like full disclosure, and you know, Instagram versus reality, etc. There's tantrums. Mm-hmm. There's sensory overload. There's tiredness. And you got to manage that. You got to expect it when you're taking young children, especially. But the pros definitely outweigh the cons.
And you've got another one now.
I do. Another Mouseketeer, month old. So very new to the world and very new to Disney. But rest assured, he will be brainwashed like his older sister. And yeah, he's going to be looking forward to his first trip over to Walt Disney World in March next year. Fingers crossed.
All right. So he'll be not even one.
No. So we've spoken to a couple of other DVC members, actually, who went over. They went over with a 7-8-month-old, and just given us a little bit more feedback of going over and whether or not it's A, doable, is it beneficial for yourselves as well as the child? Because obviously from an under three, they're free to go anyway, from flights to tickets, etc., which is obviously a benefit with going with young children. But you know, when you're going with a child who's under one or under three, you're mainly doing it for yourself and enjoying it as a parent. And yeah, we had a really good conversation with a few people, and they said, look, you're never going to get those years back. You're never going to get the benefit of going and not having to pay for a child ticket, which is very close to an adult ticket these days. So go and enjoy it. Take the snaps. And when they're older, you can show them their first Disney holiday.
Yeah, because a lot of people say that. They go, oh, what's the youngest age? Because they won't remember it. Well, they might not remember it, but you'll remember it. And then those stories last forever. And then they'll remember the first time that they remember going for the first time.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't wait.
Back with Adam in just a moment. Let's do a quick news update. This is a very quick news update as well, because there's not a lot of big news that's come over from Walt Disney World. All of the Halloween parties have now sold out. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, they've all sold out now at Magic Kingdom. The Christmas parties, quite a few of them have started to sell out as well. Away from that, other big news, there's a lot of new merch. Christmas merch has started to come in. There's new 100th merch. There's some new snacks for fall and Halloween. And also, remember just before the pandemic, used to meet Winnie the Pooh over at Epcot before he was out chasing butterflies. Well, Winnie the Pooh, he's got his meet and greet back in the UK pavilion. So if you go to where the bandstand is around the back, you can go into Christopher Robin's bedroom and bump into the old Pooh Bear. He's in there meeting and greeting his friends. If there's any other news that comes out between now and the next podcast in a couple of weeks' time, we'll update you on the socials. So give us a follow, whether it's on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical.
Adam is with us on the podcast. Let's talk about some more of your favourite things. So, are you a bit of a foodie? You a Disney foodie?
I'm not chicken strips and fries each time. I like to experience a little bit, I wouldn't call myself a full foodie. I haven't been to all of the restaurants. I haven't tried all of the sit down and the signatures, etc. And obviously now, as a parent with a toddler and what will be a newborn who will want food ASAP instead of having to wait for seats, etc. We'll probably be sticking to quick service for the foreseeable. But no, I don't mind a Disney snack or meal or two.
What are your favourites? Favourite snacks? Favourite places to eat? Got any favourite restaurants?
All the times that we've been going, I hadn't tried Dole Whip. I don't know why. Just never came up. Never came up until 2022. And again, the difference now of going over to Walt Disney World is just the exposure through social media, content creators, etc., of what the new thing is, what the popular thing is, etc., what's new on the menu in different places, what you should try, what you should miss, etc. And that really helps when you're trying to plan your Disney trips and what could be beneficial for your Disney dollar. And yeah, this time we went past it. We went to the Tiki Room. My daughter is absolutely obsessed with the Tiki Room. We went there multiple times, and obviously next door, conveniently, is where you find your Dole Whip. So we've tried a fair few flavors of that. And again, yeah, that is my favorite Disney snack. 100% the Dole Whip wins. I'm very partial to a Mickey ice cream sandwich over the premium bar, which might be a little bit controversial to listeners. Yeah, I do like a sandwich over it. But Dole Whip trumps it when it comes to snacks, for sure.
And what about restaurants? You got a favorite?
Yeah, the restaurants, the ones that we've headed to, there were two from our previous trip that really stood out. San Angel in the Mexican Pavilion. We went there on a little date night there. My parents were also over at the same time, so they very kindly babysat our daughter so we could go out on Valentine's Day to enjoy a meal in the Mexican Pavilion. If anyone likes Mexican food, I would recommend going in there. It's beautiful. They also had a replica of the Mexican pyramid in a chocolate form as a dessert.
I've seen that.
It lives up to the hype. The pictures look incredible, and the taste of it is, if you're a chocolate fan, then that's the one to go to.
Yeah, because that was for the 50th, wasn't it? Have they still got it? I know there was a 50th one, but if they still got it, yeah, definitely need to do it.
Yeah, fingers crossed they do, because it's definitely worthy of sticking on the menu for sure. Favorite restaurant, though, that I would say, it's out of the two character dinings that we've tried recently. One of them was Garden Grill, again in Epcot. And Garden Grill's fab. The food is great. It's, you know, the produce is within that pavilion that you're eating with Living in the Land. The restaurant itself rotates, and that just gives that little element of enjoyment while you're also having a meal. The characters are fab. You get to see Mickey, Chip, Dale, and Pluto all dressed up in their farmer best. And of course, while you're rotating in the restaurant, you get to see from above in Living with the Land and catch the guys down below enjoying that attraction. It's a great restaurant. It's a great concept. Yeah. And the main thing is the food also is worthy of that restaurant as well. You're not paying for just the experience. You are paying for the food. The food's great. The berry shortcake you have at the end, you may feel you're full because it's, you know, all you can eat or family style. But always make room for the berry shortcake. It's lovely.
The good thing is about the family style restaurants as well, because you're getting the characters. You don't have to keep getting up to go to the buffet and looking to see whether the characters are about to come to your table. You just stay firm and they will come. And a number of times as well at Garden Grill, they usually pop round once for a hello, and then they'll come round again, maybe sometimes a third time.
Yeah, there are a couple of character restaurants we've tried where it is very much a glance and a wave and maybe get a snapshot. But with Garden Grill and Tusker House as well, and Animal Kingdom as well, we've tried both of them recently, and the amount of time that you have per character seems to be pretty lengthy. It's good. They'll not just, you know, take a photo and then you're on to the next table. Yeah. They'll actually have a little bit of engagement, which is great with kids, but also as Disney adults as well. It's fab too to give, you know, Donald a high five and have a chat.
Oh, I'd love having a chat with Donald and Daisy. Well, I could talk to her for hours. What about attractions? Have you got a favourite attraction?
Yeah, so attractions, for me, haven't been on Guardians yet, and I hear good things about Guardians, so that may become the favourite attraction when March rolls around, or when the next trip materialises. But the new big thing when we went in 2022 was Rise of the Resistance. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and it's sort of unfair to the rest of the attractions, given obviously my interest in that IP and just the scale of that attraction. From the minute you go through the queue, you're on the attraction. I don't mind queuing for an hour if I've got all of that to look at. To go through the pre-show elements were great. The animatronics, the actual ride itself, the storyline was fab. Everything worked because obviously they had a few technical issues at the beginning of it all. Everything worked for us. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. It's just Kevin, a friend of mine on the Brits Guide for DVC podcast that I contribute to, he describes it as an experience, not a ride. And I think that's the way to look at it. It is an experience. It's head and shoulders above anything else that I've been on in a Disney park.
Yeah. And I don't really feel like there's a pre-show there either. As soon as you get in, as soon as you get into that first room, I think that's it. The attraction as itself starts. The story starts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like even little things like, you know, BB-8 rolling out and the hologram of Rey and heading on to the first like embarkment that you have when you're on the first vessel before you then get caught and taken into the main body of that ride. You're fixed in straight away. And there's so many different elements there that you don't see on any other ride.
Yeah.
I just love it. I absolutely love it. I think that is Imagineering at its best. I really do.
You must have seen some attractions come and go, though, since 1991. Is there anything that they've got rid of that you miss?
Yeah, so I'm a big advocate of, you know, keep changing, keep evolving, keep it fresh. That's what keeps us coming back. You don't want the magic to stagnate, but we have lost a decent amount of attractions that I would like to have stuck around. Hollywood Studios is fab. Rise of Resistance, Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land, all of that is great. Slinky Dog, we went on for the first time in 22, and that was a great ride. Hollywood Studios as a 90s park back when it was MGM, it was a whole different feel back then, and there were a lot of good attractions, a lot of good shows that we're missing in that park. I liked the essence of MGM, feeling like you were in a studio lot and you were experiencing jumping into the movies as the marketing obviously entailed. The backlot tour and seeing props and going on that tram ride around and essentially seeing the behind the scenes. I really miss that. The Great Movie Ride, it was exactly what the name says. It was great. Going actually dipping into the different films, having that role play with your guide on it and then you know, heading off and then coming back as part of the story. I really do miss that. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, by the way, the technology they've got in the Chinese Theatre at the minute is incredible. Not taking anything away from that new attraction. I love it. And my daughter loved it as well. If we could have put Runaway somewhere else and kept a Great Movie Ride, I'd have been very happy.
Do you ever venture outside Disney when you go? Do you venture outside the bubble? I'm guessing you did back in the days, but do you now just find yourself, especially with being in a DVC, just hanging around the resorts and the parks?
Yeah, it certainly has reduced. As I mentioned earlier, obviously it's a lot more in your pocket when it comes to having to go to different parks, etc., given how much it costs to go to, say, a Universal Park alongside a Disney park or a SeaWorld, etc., if that's what you're after. Certainly back in the day, we would do that, and that takes you out of the bubble when then you go to other places. We used to go to the outlets, obviously, when the pound to dollar was was a better conversion rate, and you know, a pair of jeans was half the price than what it was at home. I think every time I went on holiday as a child, my dad's brought back half a suitcase worth of jeans because it was so much cheaper than over here in the UK. Not so much anymore, unfortunately, although those deals are still out there. Nowadays, it is mainly sticking into the Disney bubble, especially while children are young and while we're still enjoying it and exploring DVC and the other elements outside of the park. The one thing that we did fairly recently, which I would always say is a recommendation for anyone who fancies it, there's a few businesses quite close to the Walt Disney World property that do hot air ballooning. They shoot off in the morning. You have to get up pretty early to do it because they do like sunrises. And obviously to do with a lot of traffic that happens throughout the day, they tend to do it quite early in the morning or in the afternoon when it's coming close to sunset. And it's definitely worth it. You see such a contrast of the area, the swampland a bit south from the property, the citrus fields for all of the trees, etc. And then going towards downtown Orlando when you start seeing the evolution of the hustle and bustle. It was fab. It was definitely a bucket list moment for me. My wife very kindly bought it for me for a birthday. And yeah, we had a great time. We had a really good time. If anyone's got that adrenaline seeking about them and not too scared of heights, then hot air ballooning in Florida is definitely one for them.
That's cool. Does it take you anywhere near the parks? Could you see like Cinderella Castle or anything? Or are they not allowed around Disney World property?
Yeah, there was a restriction of how close you could get to those sort of properties. So it is a little bit further out, but you can see the parks on the horizon. Yeah. You can see downtown Orlando on the horizon as well. And obviously your guide will pick out different places. It's definitely more of a rural sort of landscape, which is great because, I mean, you know, being in the Disney bubble, you're sticking to the world that they've created for you within that bubble. It's nice to see a bit of natural Florida as well on these sort of excursions. I know there's a few kayaking excursions which are close to that area as well, around, you know, the tip of the Everglades, etc., which is really, really recommended. And I think that'll probably be on our list one day. But no, hot air ballooning, if you don't mind going up in the sky, definitely worth it.
Sounds great. That sounds really good. What other tips have you picked up over your times, either in the parks or anywhere else?
Tips. My key tip that I've had for a while, but then when you become a parent, it's even more of a standout tip. It's just managing expectations. It'll always be managing expectations. Disney holidays these days are planned holidays. You need to have some form of a plan or a schedule to be able to really take advantage of how much there is to do there. But also, you got to remember you're on holiday. It shouldn't be regimented. You shouldn't be despondent when you can't get on a certain ride or find the next best thing. The merchandise queues you see for the new things that come out that can take half a day away from, you know, your enjoyment within a park or wherever you are within Walt Disney property. So I think my biggest tip, and it came to fruition for sure in 22 when we had a child with us, and obviously you can't go charging around for ride after ride to show after show, because that was just going to burn them out early doors, and then the rest of your holiday they're going to be washed out. Then that's when stress starts to increase. So just manage that expectation that you have. By all means, try and pencil in the rides that you really want to go on and the snacks you really want to try. But I've seen so many times over different blogs and a few different vlogs on YouTube where people are saying, oh yeah, that trip didn't quite work out. We were a little bit disappointed with that trip because we didn't get that thing. We didn't get to experience that attraction, etc. Yeah. Just remember you're spending a decent amount of money on these sort of holidays these days, and you don't want to come back and feel despondent after spending all of those pounds. You want to have those memories and the joy with the people that you're with when you're out there. So manage those expectations in the park for sure.
Definitely. Because sometimes people rush around from attraction to attraction, but actually if you're doing that, you're missing everything else that's going on in between. And there's a lot going on in between.
Exactly. Yeah. They say always look up, and you've got to take your time to just walk around Main Street and look up at the windows and see the theming. Go into queues and don't just be fixed looking at your phone, as much as they want you to do that now with Genie Plus, etc. But take all of the props, take all of the pre-show in. The Imagineering teams that have been around for decades now are just they're incredible what they do with immersion, and you don't want to be taken out of that immersion by panicking about, well, I have to get to this 2 o'clock show. Oh, we've got to get a space for this firework. We've got to head over to Rise because it's a 3 hour queue and that's going to be our afternoon. Just, you know, as much as you can't really do it on the fly anymore, just be prepared to deviate, do a little switcheroo where you can, just to make sure you're really maximizing your enjoyment in the parks.
We've talked about the past. We've talked about the present. What about the future? Because recently they had the D23 Expo with quite a few announcements about changes that are coming or maybe coming. Is there anything you're excited about or any changes you're worried about that they've announced?
Yeah, so certainly tuned in like many of us to what was announced or sort of announced at D23. We had a lot of ideas on the table.
Yeah, blue sky.
Like to have seen like many of us, I'd like to have seen a little bit more concrete. There did seem to be a few ideas which seemed quite similar to what we had last year at the D23 Expo. But also, give them their due, the stuff that they are bringing to the table does sound exciting. I like the evolution of Animal Kingdom. It's a shame to lose dinosaurs and theming of dinosaurs. We're a big dino fan here.
Yeah.
And I love Dinosaur. My daughter loved that Chester and Hester's area, even though Primeval World was essentially a parking lot when we got there, but she enjoyed the stuff that was still standing. But I do think that it's going to be a really exciting area to be developed down there. And, you know, the Moana walkthrough in Epcot looks great. I think that's really taken a lot of people by surprise in the recent stuff that we've seen. A lot of people, when that was announced last year, was like, oh, is it just, you know, a walkway with a few trees and a little bit of water jumping about? Actually, from what we've seen, you know, it's very immersive and people are really enjoying it from the previews we've seen. And I think we're going to see that with a lot of these ideas that are going to come to the table. They're just great at surprising us. They may give us an idea, but they can evolve those ideas over time and make it so much more than what we would possibly imagine. So I'm just looking forward to change. One thing I'm really looking forward to is not seeing a construction site in the middle of that.
I think that's it'll be done by the end of the year.
The key thing.
Yeah, the construction will move over to Animal Kingdom, so they'll have
that. That's right.
It's moved from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. Animal Kingdom will be next, and when the app's finished, probably Magic Kingdom. Probably.
That's right. That's right. They did tease us last year with this sort of like beyond Thunder Mountain area. I know, obviously, Encanto was one of the areas, and that's obviously been penciled for somewhere else now, which is for sure it will fit into Animal Kingdom. I know there's a little bit of question marks of how that's going to fit into the Animal Kingdom feel, but I think Encanto is going to be great there. But the evolution behind Thunder Mountain and behind Fantasyland of Magic Kingdom is really exciting. Give us some form of villains. We've got Haunted Mansion there. Haunted Mansion could be the gateway to this like darker area behind Fantasyland, where we can have like, you know, Maleficent projections and rides and other villains heading up. You know, there's a big fan base and community regarding villains, and my daughter who is now 4 is fixated on Ursula and Maleficent as well. Oh, I don't know where she's got the villains bug from.
That's
but
trouble.
She very much enjoys the villains. So yeah, something like that would be really, really interesting, I think, in a Disney park, and I think it would draw a lot of people and a lot of interest.
Yeah, they need more things now because they're building more hotels and more rooms. We need actually somewhere for people to go when they're in the parks. Otherwise, it's just going to get busier and busier.
This is it. This is it. Yeah, everyone's been, you know, calling for a fifth gate. I appreciate fifth gate comes with a lot of Disney dollars, and they have gone through, I know for it seems silly to say it for such a big corporation, but they have gone through, like the rest of us, a bit of a lull during the pandemic, and they've lost money. It's been public of where the share price is at the minute with regards to Disney, and that's going to have a knock-on effect to the parks and the experiences. But the fact they are giving us these ideas and giving us the next decade of attractions that are being built, hopefully with that we can start seeing the queues for certain attractions reduce because people are in other areas within the park. I think that's the key thing for all of us. None of us want a queue. None of us want to spend too much money on Lightning Lanes and Genie Plus to skip those queues and utilize all of our time. So the more attractions they can give us to busy our days, the better.
Yes, please, Mickey. I'm going to give you your perfect day at Disney World, Adam. That includes staying where you want, eating where you want, doing what on earth you want. Not your only day at Disney World, but what would be your perfect day?
Okay, cool. Perfect day. If I take my advice of managed expectations and taking things as easy as possible, and I'm going to say if I try and make a perfect day, I want to go from here, there to everywhere, and I want to enjoy some bits and pieces on that day. I'm going to utilize all of that time. Let's start off with I want to take the monorail. I just want to be on the monorail. I can start my day in DTC to get onto the monorail.
Okay.
Because I love the monorail. It's one of my favorite. It's definitely still my favorite Disney transport. Let's take the monorail. We'll go to Epcot. We'll enjoy Spaceship Earth, OG attraction. Absolutely love it. We'll have breakfast in Garden Grill. I've had lunch in Garden Grill. I want to experience breakfast in Garden Grill and start the morning by saying hi to Farmer Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
Soaring is another one of my favorite attractions. We'll go to Soaring. It's very close to where Brekkie will be. So
will it be the original Californian Soaring, which is coming back?
Yes.
Or will it be Wonky Eiffel Tower Soaring?
I do prefer the original.
Yes.
I like both. I find it quite funny when Wonky Eiffel Tower doesn't merge, so I'll take that with the current version. It will be interesting to see how long the original version sticks around for, and whether it will be there next time we go. I want to smell the citrus again of the California
that's the best thing about it. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's again, imagine that at its finest when just staring at a screen being dangled from a machine. I love it. So Soarin' would definitely be on my day. I would have to cater for the family for sure, and my daughter is obsessed, as many daughters are, with Frozen. So we'll go on Maelstrom 2.0 and go on Frozen for her and do the boat ride before we head out of Epcot, head on to some more Disney transport, get on the Skyliner over to Hollywood Studios. As I mentioned before, big Star Wars fan. It's not going to be a perfect Disney day without going on Rise. Head over to Rise. Keep the children entertained by going in the Disney Junior Dance Party. That's definitely a recommendation for anyone with kids. It's a fun time for kids in there, definitely, especially if they are, you know, tuned into Disney Plus, etc. So you keep the kids happy, because if the kids are happy, you're going to have an even more perfect Disney day. So we've done Hollywood Studios, we've done Epcot. We'll jump on a bus, different mode of transport. Do love my transport. Head onto the bus, head on down to Animal Kingdom, head into Pandora. Going to get hungry, maybe pick up a cheeseburger pod, because nice. Those things are great as well in Sartini Canteen. Flight of Passage, actually an attraction I haven't been on yet. That's definitely one that I do need to get on. Unfortunately, the trips that we've been since Flight of Passage have been around, the queues have been chaos, but I'm determined next time to go on it. Big Avatar fan, so we'll head to Flight of Passage. Then we'll go and see some real-life animals and go to Kilimanjaro Safaris. Once we've done Kilimanjaro Safaris, we'll head on over to Magic Kingdom, finish the day in Magic Kingdom, enjoy some of the OG attractions like the People Mover and Carousel Progress. I'm a sucker for those sort of attractions. That'll keep me happy. Fantasyland for my daughter and my wife. Again, the carousel. It is just the merry-go-round, but there's something about being in a merry-go-round in Disney which makes it so much more magical. So we'll jump on the carousel. Do I want to say it? Yeah, okay, I'll allow Small World. I'll allow one Small World for the daughter, because happy children. I'll take the Haunted Mansion afterwards just for me. And then we'll finish off our perfect Disney day as everyone should do, with a nighttime spectacular and at this moment in time it's Happily Ever After, which again, it's not a firework display that I've seen as of yet. I didn't hit that window. I've heard great things about it.
No.
Loved Wishes. Loved Enchantment, so I want to see what everyone is saying is the step above and Happily Ever After. Everyone says it.
That's a very long day you've got there, Adam. Where are you staying, by the way? Where are you crashing down at the end of the night?
I'll stick to my guns, my team Saratoga and DVC.
Okay, we'll get the bus back.
We've had a recent refurb in Saratoga, and it's just been, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It still has the theming of upstate New York and Saratoga and the equine element of it with horse riding, and it's just beautiful. I would recommend anyone going to Saratoga. The resort itself is just a nice way, maybe after the day after my manic day,
yeah,
just unwind in its pools and just walking around the resort, or maybe being dragged around the resort, because I'm not sure I'd have the energy to walk anywhere after a day like that.
Totally not at all. So we mentioned before, a fellow podcaster, where can we find you?
Yes, yeah. So my podcasting journey started with contribution to a podcast which is called Brit's Guide to DVC. That's hosted by a good friend of mine called Kevin. He's been around for a number of years in the podcasting community in Disney, very well known. We have a few episodes a month with regards to getting like-minded DVC members to chat about why they're DVC members, trip reports with regards to their DVC journeys. And anyone who is a UK considering DVC, it's a good place to get some sort of resource and some info there with regards to direct and resale. So I contribute to that podcast. I have started a teeny tiny podcast myself called Devonshire Diz. You can find me in Instagram at Devonshire_Diz, and also within your podcast platforms at Devonshire Diz. That's very much more generic Disney as opposed to DVC. And on there, I'm just looking for like-minded people like yourself, Andy, and everyone else in the community who just wants to ramble on like I do about Disney on a day to day.
Love it. Well, not that I'm suggesting that I could be a guest or should be a guest, but I mean, I'm putting it out there. If you want me as a DVC member, I'm very more than happy to come on and chat about DVC.
You are welcome on Brit's Guide to UK. You are welcome on Devonshire Diz. I could talk to you for hours about Disney. So yeah, you're more than welcome.
Definitely. Lovely chatting to you, Adam, and have a magical day.
Have a magical day. Enjoy.
Fancy joining me on the podcast? Like Adam, we are looking for new guests now for next year. I know. Where's the year gone? But do get in touch. Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical is where we are. Make sure you give us a like and a follow on all the socials. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We have brand new podcasts coming out every other week. Hit that subscribe button. You'll know when they pop up. If you're heading over to Walt Disney World very soon, we are into the fall. It's very much Halloween season. We've got Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party going on at the Magic Kingdom. They've also sold out. We've got Halloween Horror Nights over at Universal. We've got the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, including the Eat to the Beat concert series. October is always good for gigs at Epcot. They've got the likes of Air Supply, Taylor Dane, Billy Ocean, Hanson. They're all on between now and the end of the month. So if you're going to be going over to Epcot, make sure you can catch one of those. Of course, they've got the dining packages as well if you want to guarantee a seat for one of those. Crowds during the week shouldn't be too bad. Busy as you'd expect at weekends. The weather is starting to cool down, so a lot of warm sunshine around at the minute. It's still in the mid-80s, but pretty decent. And talking of gigs, by the way, Jonas Brothers play Orlando next weekend. Friday the 13th, you can catch them at the arena in Orlando. If you happen to be there and you want to see the Jonas Brothers, it's a Disney thing, isn't it? It's connected. And we've got a top tip for this episode. Now, this top tip is only good if you're going between now and the end of November, because the Epcot Forever Fireworks, the nighttime spectacular at Epcot, isn't very busy at the minute. The brand new nighttime spectacular will start in December, but between now and then, Epcot Forever has been there for quite a while and it's not that popular. So gone are the days of pitching up like half an hour before to get a good space around the lagoon to watch the fireworks at Epcot. You don't need to do that. You can rock up like 5 minutes before or even when they start. Really don't have to for Epcot Forever. However, the brand new firework display will be starting before Christmas, and that will be very popular. That'll be different. Then you'll have to pitch up. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. Hit that subscribe button. Back in 2 weeks. Until then, please stand clear of the doors.